Can you tell me the scariest moment when you were a little boy?
Well, let's see. Yes, it was really a frightening moment. But I have to go back a ways because Lawton is a very flat country, and there aren't any hills to bobsled on or anything like that. But where South Second Street, there's another railroad on the other side of town called the Frisco. And whereas the Rock Island ran north and south, the Frisco ran east and west. And where the Frisco track crossed Second Street, which was also the highway out of town, there was an underpass. And so where the big underpass was, they had filled the land up from the street level clear up to the rails, and it made a long sloping slope on each side of the road. And when it snowed, well, that was an ideal place to play in the snow because you could roll down in the snow, or you could take a sled if you had one and slide down the snow. And that winter, it was really, really a cold winter. And I went down there to play, and that's where I met my friend. And it was his little brother that the story is really about. But this boy and I found a piece of corrugated sheet iron, and we pounded out the end of it and curled it up a little bit so it would make the front of a sled. And we took by pounding it out flat, we could bend it. And then we took an old railroad spike that we found in a rock and punched holes in it and a piece of window cord, sash cord, and made us a loop for a handle. And that was our sled. And we had a lot of fun on that. And when the day was over, I asked him if he could come home with me. And he said no. And I said, well, why can't you? And he said, well, I got to go home and take care of my little brother. But he says, I'll ask mother. So he asked his mom, and the next day he came back, and we were playing in the snow. This was during the Christmas vacation, and the snow was really heavy. That year it stayed on the ground clear till April. And so that gives you some idea of how heavy and cold the snow it was. But I went to his house the next day and met his mother and his little brother, and I recognized right away that if we were willing to take care of the little brother, we could play a lot more together because his mother wasn't very well. And inside the house, they had one great big pot-bellied stove, a cast iron stove, kind of in the center of not quite in the center of the living room. And they had a coal scuttle beside it, and they had a thing with coal in it. And his mother was the only one that was allowed to put coal in the stove. And at that time, I thought that must not be very much coal, but it may have been for safety too. But anyway, on one day, we wanted to play in the snow, and he couldn't play. I went by his house to get him, and his mother says, no, says, you've got to go get coal. And what he did was he would walk along the Frisco track, starting at the station, walking toward the trestle, which was a few blocks down, that crossed a big gully. And he would walk along the tracks. When the engine was about to pull out of the station, the fireman would throw a lot of coal into the boiler, and he would just shovel it in and shovel it in, and some of it would fall on the floor, and as the train started out, some of it would sift off the edge of the floor into the right-of-way. And he kept shoveling coal even after the engine began to pull out to try to get the engine going. And so this little boy would take a galvanized bucket and walk along the track and pick up that coal and take back home. Now,
his name was Joe, wasn't it?
His name was Joe. And now my friends thought my folks were rich, because, you know, I seemed to have so much more than they had. But they were just very careful providers, And we were fortunate, and I knew I was fortunate. But anyway, one day, to be with Joe, I would help take care of his little brother, and I'd help him pick up coal along the railroad track. And one day, we were walking along the track as the train was pulling out of the station, and the fireman in the engine could see what we were doing. And he reached over in the coal bin on the right behind the engine and got a great big shovel of coal and walked over to the edge of the cab and kind of threw it down on the ground, and it sprinkled around the ground. And there was nearly enough coal that he threw to us to fill his bucket.
I bet that made Joe's mother happy.
Yes, made her happy. I was happy too, because I thought there's somebody who really understands.
Mm-hmm.
But now to tell you about the experience, on down the track a little bit farther was a trestle.
Mm-hmm.
And this trestle had, it was a beautiful trestle made out of steel, but the floor in the trestle was made out of big creosote-covered timbers. And the timbers were not jammed up against each other, but they were a few inches apart. And now we had never walked on the trestle, and Joe's mother told him never to get on the trestle, and so we really knew better. But we walked along, and all of the coal had fallen down in the snow, and we couldn't find very much, and I think Joe really wanted to get on the other side of the trestle anyway. And so he said, well, maybe there's some on the other side. Let's go ahead and cross on the trestle. And the train had already pulled out of the station, so we felt secure, you know, in doing that. And we started walking across the trestle, and suddenly we could feel the track shaking, and we heard the train whistle, and way behind us was this really fast train, and it was an express train that was coming through, and we didn't know about it. And it was whistling like crazy, and so he grabbed his little brother's hand and started to run, and the little brother's foot slipped and fell right between in the crack in the trestle. And here we were in the center of the railroad track, and his little brother had his foot stuck, and Joe kind of panicked and ran off the end of the thing, and I got down and I tried to pull a little boy's foot out, and I lifted him up until he cried because his leg hurt, and I realized, my goodness, this is desperate. And boy, if you don't believe that there's a guardian angel, suddenly it occurred to me to unlace his shoe. And so I looked down, and there was just one end of the shoelace was showing, and I pulled on it, and just miraculously the bow came apart, and they were high-top shoes with real stiff soles. And I took my index finger, and I reached down, and I scrubbed at the shoelaces and loosened them and pulled his foot out and grabbed him up and took him in my arms. And I ran off the trestle, and we got down the side of the hill. And just as the train went across, the steam from the engine showered us. The steam that was escaping just with a mist. And my.
He saved his life.
I was so thankful. And so we were. Joe said, now we mustn't tell Mother. And so we walked all the way home, and I didn't know what to say. But when we got home, the little boy told his mother. And so she looked at Joe and she said, you should never have been on the trestle in the first place. And then she turned to me and she was so appreciative. And so when I got home, I told my mother the whole story. And
what'd she say?
She talked to me about it, and she said that I should have known not to get on the trestle. And even though he wanted to get on the trestle, I should have discouraged it. And so she told me that what my responsibility was. Now, Joe went to a different school than I did because the line that demarked whether you went to this elementary school or that one separated us, and he went to one school and I went to the other one. But in junior high school, we only had one junior high school in Lawton, and so in the seventh grade, I looked for him, and I couldn't find him, so I guess he had moved.